Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is July 6th. It is Friday. It feels like it's been Friday all week with all the celebrating going on. And, you know, down by the beaches, it's now everybody's flocking, and we're catching up with the rest of the country and having these 100-degree temperatures today, even in places that normally, you know, don't go above 70. So it's going to be interesting, but it's July. That's what July's all about, is making sure that we melt for some reason or another. So today is Questions Friday, and I have a couple of questions that I thought sometimes they just need some time. One of them is from Chris Kip Woods, who says, "Hi, Nadia. Hug. I was meditating and heard a voice say that ego is a forced voice. Can you interpret it, please? Oh, can you interpret it, please, that? Okay, love you. Hug." So ego is like looked at as someone flashy, someone bright, someone driving a red car, somebody doing something that looks obvious that it's an issue. There's an issue. And it's that they can't accept themselves. They don't want to grow old. Whatever it is, we see ego so obviously that we laugh at it. We poke fun at people we think are, you know, behaving under that umbrella, whatever it is. But the bigger deal about ego is that it's one of the necessary reasons that we're here. We are here to learn to overcome ego because it is a threshold. It's just something we pass through. If we stay in the ego, if you want to know what staying in the ego actually looks like, the person can be nice, they can be accommodating, they can be okay. But if you just saw pure narcissism, where somebody really, really, really cannot see that they don't really care about anyone else, they just want people to serve them. And after a while, when people feel like they're just serving them in one way or another, then people don't want to stay. So they see the ego and they outgrow it. That's a visual of ego. And who's exhibiting the behavior after a while, and this is what a very, I want to say, good man who I love, but is, I want to say, suffering from narcissism, and he doesn't get it. At all. He doesn't get it at all. And he said to me, all along, I thought it was the people in my relationships. Oh, one second. Okay, I'm back. Somebody called me to tell me my show wasn't on. And I'm doing the show, and they really thought that I was asleep and my show wasn't going on. So I had to take it when I saw the name, because it would be someone who would only call me for that reason. So sorry, I hope everyone can hear me. Let me check in the chat. Oh, yeah, it's here. We got everybody. Oh, good. And I even see Maureen and Liam and a guest and Francis. Wow, we're loaded in our chat today. Yay, it's Friday. So what happened is, with ego, if you could see it that way, the man couldn't get it. He didn't get it. And he kept saying, you know, over and over again, I always thought it was them, but I'm starting to think it's me. And that's how we are with ego when we're in it. Someone can tell us all day long that we're listening to our ego and we say, oh, no, we're not. I'm really doing this for this reason. I'm really, and as you go down the pike in your mind, all the questions you ask yourself, you go, oh, wait a minute. I actually did try to justify or rationalize why I'm doing something. And that's how we know. Does it mean that the people who are, I want to say, in ego are bad? No. Does it mean we're bad when we're in it? No. But is it a forced voice? Yes. It isn't natural, which is why after we realize at times what we've done or why we did it or why we wanted it or why we had to have it, that we go, oh, wow, why did I do that? The stuff we do from heart throughout our lives, from when we were younger until today, that's based in love at some point, in some way. We never, ever forget. Stuff we do with ego, we tend to forget the details. As time goes on, I don't remember why I did that. I don't remember. There was a reason why I wanted to do it that way. And I talked to a lot of people who are older and have lived long, full lives. And the things that they tell me about, they're fuzzy on the details. But when they tell me about things that they have loved, they will remember everything down to the expression on another person's face. So when we walk around saying that love is so important, all there is love, and we go on and on about love, that's why. People think it's like light talk. I remember in the beginning, and I don't use the word love in everything I write, but pretty much. And in the beginning, someone said to me, oh, my gosh, if you use the word love one more time, I'm going to blow a gasket. Really? Do you feel like you know everything that you want to know about yourself? Well, no, I don't think I'll ever know. I said, but about yourself, what do you think you are? Well, I'm a person. I said, no, what do you really think you are? What do you think you're made of? If you had to say there's a human ingredient, we see a body, we know we have organs, we can't see them, but they're in there. We walk. But what do we say when we talk? What do we talk about? Everything we talk about stems to whether or not we love something. Either we love it or we don't. We talk about it. And most of the time when we talk negatively about each other, it goes back to ego because we know that someone didn't do something from heart. And when we know someone didn't do something from heart, what do we talk about? But we'll say a description of what they could have done differently. And it all goes back to love. It's interesting and very beautiful the way the entire conversation transitions when we start to include love. Because love is that powerful. Even in the worst of arguments between two people who really love each other, they will not want to hurt each other just to win. Now, if two people are injured, and they do need to win, and they do need to be right, and they don't want to be wrong, even at the expense of the other person, that's what ego looks like. So when you say a forced voice, and it says the ego is a forced voice, it's not our natural voice. It's our insecure voice. Does it make us bad people? Nope. It doesn't. It just makes us real people. And we grow. And we keep growing. I remember when this whole spiritual movement started to hit mainstream, and I realized, well, I'm not exactly spiritual, because when I realized what being spiritual entails, I was like, I don't do that, and I don't do that, and I don't do that, and I don't do that. But I believe in people, in souls, in their spirits, whatever you want to call it. I just believe in us. Because the love, even if it is the injured love. And in the beginning, I wanted to tell everybody, even if it was one person at a time. But I realized over time, because I had many teachers teach me this, is that people learn from me if I can just tell them what Christ is teaching me without putting and adding in the huge mother load of the mother part of me that wants to take care of everybody. Because I realized it's impossible that I can do it one person at a time, although I really wanted to. Because my mind, my body is in a small circumference, and I want everyone in the world to fit in my little pocket of this love that I've learned. And I had to learn, and it's taken me now almost 17 years to realize that there's a way to do this. But I have to understand how. And it's taken me a good long time. And I'm spread way too thin right now, but in a good way. Not with my time. I have to get out from behind the desk and get onto the other side. Because sometimes our ego, the forced voice, tells us, oh, but you have to do this first and you have to do that first. And that feeds right well into my brain because I need to have order so bad. But now I'm finding that delegation is beautiful and great. And it involves people. And it involves people. It takes me a long time to get certain things done that are hard for me or that I don't have answers for right away or any of that kind of stuff because my plate is full daily. But it's never off the ticker. It's never off the table. I'm always aware of it, and I have it on my list every day, and there will be a day where I come to it and conclude it, and it's done. So I've learned to work with the stronger part of me, the love part, and understand that that's what I'm coming from. Ego, it doesn't need to be served, but it can stick in quietly by making me feel like I have to finish everything. In a way that stops me from talking or helping people. So I've learned to help and talk first and then work my way down the pike. So when you know yourself, to listen to that forced voice, because now you say, well, why would I do that? Why would I do that? Question of our lifetimes. So thank you for your question, Chris. I know I talked a lot about ego, but ego is such an evasive, elusive, kind of weird feeling that we get. And then we're like, oh, no, there's no way anyone will buy that. Well, if no one else is going to buy it, neither should you. Keep it on the shelf. Throw it out. Tell yourself you don't need to take that route. You've learned way too much to take that route. My next question is from Maria. She says, Dear Nadia, can the sound vibration of our voices affect our lives? That's a simple enough question. Thank you always. Lots of love, Maria. Well, can the sound and vibration of our voices affect our lives? Let me give you, if I were screaming right now, what would you be thinking? What's wrong with Nadia? When someone's talking at you and doesn't breathe while they're talking at you in a way that makes you want to go through a wall and run away, does that affect your life? If someone talks to you calmly and looks you in the eye, even me saying that made me calm down. It does affect your life. Very careful about using words like vibration, because when I start hearing all of the words that we think we should be using, vibration, there's another one I always hear. Shoot, it just left my brain. Frequency, vibration or frequency, and, you know, we're in a higher frequency, and that stuff does exist. But when you talk like that, it tends to alienate people because a lot of people aren't sure what that means. And in my brain, do you remember the beginning of me seeing Christ was that you will bridge people's souls back to them. And I found out that everything I'm doing is a bridge. Every single person in our world that I will ever talk to, I will not be telling you anything new. But what I am doing is that I'm a reminder to you, to us, to me, of who we really, really are. Because when we veer off and we've listened to ego so much, that forced voice in the first question, oh, we need to look like this, we need to act like this, we need to have this, we need to have that, or we're not okay. And we veered off so far in the world of stress and pressure that we just didn't know how to come back to the original us. And a lot of people knew it. Not when I first saw Christ. I can't say that because I didn't even know why I saw Christ when I first saw Christ. I'm like, what do you mean bridge people's souls back to Him? What's wrong with us? And then I found out as time went on, and it took time, took a lot of time. But I had to see Him when I saw Him to be ready for now. In the beginning, the sound or vibration of my voice was like, oh, you're going to really think I'm nuts. And then that turned into, wait until you hear this. And then that turned into silence. I started just listening to people. I just wanted to hear them, their voices, what they said, why they said it. And then that turned into me understanding the answers that I was, and then that turned into speaking. And that turned into a radio show. And then that turned into writing some more. So it's really interesting. Even the sound of my voice while I'm talking, to go back to Maria's question, can the sound and vibration of our voices affect our lives? It will affect your heart rate immediately. And then it will affect your life and the lives of the people around you. Even us being upset cannot be concealed by the sound of our voice. We can't conceal it. Somebody asks you how you are. Okay. You don't sound okay. Oh, I am. I don't know. The I am and the okay don't sound well together. What's going on? Well, you know, and then they finally just say it. And then you realize after they say it and you listen and they feel heard, you both feel better. It's actually pretty cool. But when you don't say it, that person's voice will sound like that all day long. So they're waiting for someone to notice, especially maybe the person that they're feeling it towards or because of. Bottom line is, when we feel left out or not attended to by those we love, our voice tells them without our words. So when we have different sounds and different decibels of sounds, it's like even animals. You know when your dog is okay, and you know when your dog is not okay by the sound of their voice if you can't see them. And I guess in this case, the vibration of our voices. I want to say the vibration of our bodies. Think of when I used to work right out of college, and I was in an office of like 45 men, and there were not even five women. I can count four off the top of my head. One, two, three, four, five counting me. And we were all in the financial industry selling financial products. So that we were all licensed or getting licensed to be stockbrokers and insurance people and all the financial products you could buy, and we did estate planning and all that stuff. So that's what I did right out of college, and I would sit at this desk, and in the beginning they give you this phone book, and they're like, okay, baby, here's a script in your phone book. Start your business. And there you are sitting there with the script in this phone book, and out of 100 phone calls, you might get two people who are interested, and out of those two people, you might get one appointment. So it took 2 months to build appointments, and they did not pay you in that time. They paid you after what they called appointing you. Now, when you start, because you're out of, it's called the Series 7 test to get the stockbroker license. So they figured you were already in study mode. But the way they got you into the company was to tell you you would get paid after 2 weeks. That was not true. 2 months later, they made a decision to appoint you or not. And if you got appointed, that means you were hired, and then you started getting paid. And if you didn't get appointed, you just put in 2 months for free, even though they told you 2 weeks. So that was the little hustle that they had going on in the company. So needless to say, they hired about 7 or 8 of us at one time out of college, and I would be sitting at my desk ready to, you know, start my calls. And just by the way people walked behind me, I couldn't even see their faces. I could identify who it was. And I would know if they were upset or not. And as the time went on, because they told us they'd pay us in 2 weeks, and then, you know, 3 weeks went by and 4 weeks went by. And you can imagine there's people who left because of it and whatever. And yet I could tell they were upset. In the beginning, I could just hear people walking, and they were hopeful and they were happy. And, you know, they did whatever they were doing, and they just go to their desk, make their phone calls, and they felt like they were going somewhere. But then when the lack of trust, because we weren't told something correct from the very beginning, you could see it and feel it in their voices and their walk, and you just knew something was wrong, and you'd hear it just in the way they walked behind you. And I thought, oh, and this is even before I saw Christ. I'm like, you know, it did kind of upset me. I just knew I was going to make it for some reason. And there's something in me that's very process oriented. It's just that, okay, you start here and you get here. And I saw people in the office that were working and were doing well. So I knew eventually I would be one of them. And
I was still out of college and only in a one-bedroom apartment with a very low rent, so I wasn't as concerned about finances as everybody else was who was either living, you know, alone and all of that. And I was married as well at the time. So it was a whole different ball of wax, but you can hear it, you could see it, you could feel it, and yet no one would talk about it. But you heard it in their voices, even when they talked about something else. So it can only affect our lives. Sound affects us. Loud noises affect us. Soft noises affect us. Even keel voices affect us. So today, as we're living throughout our day, it'd be cool to kind of notice how you talk to people and what reactions you get. When kids are like overexcited because they've done something for the first time and they can't believe that it was so cool or whatever, and they come to you and you're like, all right, calm down, just let me know what you know, and you try to get them to say, and they're like, you know, but why? This was so cool. So it's a very interesting thing, but I love the question because it reawakens me to thinking of the simple things, that just the sound of our voice matters in a big way. Actually, Liam wrote in the chat, I love the new activity on the page. You have found inventive ways to post. Whoever you're delegating to is doing a great job. That would be Pam Saunders, who is doing a lot of the visuals. And she's funny. She says, you know, I can't do it every day, but sometimes in my sleep, I can see it and I wake up. And she goes, I feel like, you know, she just knows what to do with certain things, certain ones. And I try to do it. I'm definitely not as creative, which is why, you know, the talents of other people just amaze me. And I kind of put it on the Facebook given backgrounds and stuff like that. But it's funny, for me, everything comes out so fast, and I just put it out, boom, 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 and then she'll take one or two of them and create something out of it, and I really love it. So, you know, thanks for noticing, Liam. It's been a lot of fun for me to just live in the talent of other people. I will never, ever stop being amazed by what other people can do. I appreciate it so much. Help so much great things that we can do when we're together. So I'm almost done. I want you guys to have a great week. It's going to be a restful weekend. And I will see you guys Monday morning. Have a great time. I love you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.